Now, moving on, it's our Naked Scientist Science Phone-In this week. It's Chris Smith, Dominic Ford and Emily Seward. We're answering all your science questions. David's in Norwich and wants to talk about nuclear reactors and things. Hello, David.
Good evening. Good evening.
Far away.
Well, as I witnessed our very first true nuclear explosion on Christmas Island, which was Grapple X, 1.8 megaton bomb, and I know the effects that it had on wildlife out there. We had the job of clearing up afterwards, blind and dead birds, fish, crabs even, had to be incinerated. I just wondered what had happened to nature at Chernobyl, whether there are any comparisons of what happened with the nature around these areas of the explosion at Chernobyl.
Interesting point, David. Obviously, there is a slight difference between a nuclear bomb and Chernobyl, because what the two things will produce will differ, and in terms of where they actually deposit the material and over what sort of area, in what sort of form, how soluble it is, how much heat and other radiation is released locally and then at greater distance. Those things will all differ between a bomb going off and a test bomb at that in a test site, and then a nuclear reactor quite close to the city. Kiev obviously didn't do too well out of this. Really interestingly, they have actually obviously isolated the area around Chernobyl, and there are some real bad hotspots in there, where if you go and take samples, you will find that plants and soil samples are very, very radioactive. People have actually been and had a look at the reactor buildings, though, and there was a very interesting paper, I think it was published in the journal PLOS One, a few years back, and they found, bizarrely, a kind of fungus growing inside the remains of the nuclear reactor. And you'd say, wow, how on earth can that happen? And actually, this fungus is very interesting because it's turned on lots of genes that make the pigment melanin. And melanin is the same stuff that makes us have brown skin and a suntan. And it's there as a way of soaking up ionizing radiation or energetic rays, which could damage our DNA. So by the yeast making itself very, very dark, it has its own inbuilt body armour against radiation. And in this way, it's able to resist a lot of the insult of the radioactive environment. So this is one interesting example of, if you apply enormous selective pressure to nature, then you can actually get some quite interesting things happening. And so it's a really useful study area. Even though it's not necessarily a great thing to have happened, it gives us an insight into what can happen and how nature can respond in this sort of environment. I guess the plants, Emily, must be doing some interesting things as well.
It's true. So plants can actually incorporate radioactive isotopes into their bodies. So radioactive carbon-14 is actually used to study the plants and see how they distribute carbon around their bodies. So, yes, the plants in that area would also be affected.
I suppose it's also worth mentioning some scientists are looking at modifying plants to make them soak up some radioactive chemicals from the soil better and put them into insoluble forms so they get locked away in the plant, and then you can clean up the soil by just harvesting the plants and destroying them. Basically, you get the components that are radioactive now in the plant. They're like a Hoover sucking the things out of the soil, and it's a good way of cleaning up soil without having to cart the soil away.
Yeah, no, and they're also looking at doing that for other toxic compounds. So if you've got lead in the soil, you can have a special type of currently slow-growing plant, but they're working on that, and it takes up the lead and cleans up the soil.
Super. Thanks, Emily.